you're here. Fellowship's real, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, February 2nd, 2022. Hey, Marianne.
Hey.
Okay, this program is so packed, I'm going to eliminate SR News for this hour's broadcast. But Phil or Dean, who do you want me to talk about first?
Oh, I don't know. Just go for it.
Okay, Dean. Thank you, Dean Hall, and those at East Central Illinois Group of Thrivent. The Great News Media sign was installed yesterday.
I know.
It's lit up at night with the LED lights. It's looking great.
It is looking great.
Great thanks to Dean and the East Central Illinois Group. They paid for it, and
incredible.
I appreciate that. Very generous donation. And now we have our Great News Media sign, and so that'll really entice or draw people here, hopefully, in the coming days. But our grand opening open house is Saturday, March 26th, so put that on your calendar. So thanks, Dean and the whole Thrivent Group. And then this is like a 10-minute story, but because we have an 18-minute and 19-second Moody's Founders Week special with John Willard Peterson, we're going to jump to that in just a minute. But the short end of this really neat story is on Sunday, I drove up to Chicagoland to meet with Phil Shepard to pick up this piece of art that's being donated to us, and we're going to put it on the wall and have framed. So I get up there. We meet at a restaurant. I was there first, so I pulled out the Prime Lifetimes publication. I wanted him to see the February edition. And I just opened it up to the grand opening. You know,
yeah.
If you turn to that second page, there's our big open house. And anyways, I want him to see that. And so as he's leafing it through, he turns to page A11, and there's that Musically Speaking. He goes, John Willard Peterson? I know all about him through Moody's Founders Week, through being at Moody. And so Phil started telling me all these stories, and he said, you know, I think I have some audio of him during a Founders Week program where he's interviewed. So we started talking. I thought, what a divine appointment.
Yeah,
so you're going to hear from John Willard Peterson. He's being introduced during a part of this Founders Week program. This is way back from February of 1973. So is that, like 48 years ago or something? I mean, a long time ago. And listening friends, wait till the very end because you're going to hear from radio pastor Donald Cole. And it fits so well with our theme on prayer. So stay with us for the next 20, 25 minutes. But shout out to Thrivent Financial. Our new Great News Media sign is on our building
here.
You can
find us now.
Marketplace Mall. Yes, you can find us outdoor entrance. You won't find us in the mall. We're outside the mall. We're between Lens Crafters and Old Navy. But come on out on Saturday, March 26th for our grand opening open house. So that's enough to say about that. So how about we read this article?
Okay.
This is in the February edition of the Prime Lifetimes. And then I'm going to go right into the introduction where you're going to hear from John Willard Peterson, and he's going to talk about one of the songs that's mentioned. In fact, they're going to sing it, and you're
so
going to feel a part of Founders Week for a few minutes, 18 minutes and 19 seconds exactly.
Oh, this is great.
But it took a miracle. And,
I love that song.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Roger Weisgarber's column, Musically Speaking.
Thank you, Roger.
Thank you, Roger. John Willard Peterson, master composer. John W. Peterson, 1921 to 2006, was one of the most prolific gospel composers of the 20th century. His music has been loved and sung around the world. He has composed and published over 1,000 individual songs. Each one of his songs carried his trademark of easily sung tunes. That's true, Mark. I like that. With memorable, meaningful lyrics. His most beloved include Heaven Came Down, Jesus Is Coming Again, So Send I You, It Took a Miracle, and Surely Goodness and Mercy. Peterson composed 35 choral cantatas and musicals such as Night of Miracles, No Greater Love, Carol of Christmas, and Love Transcending. Approximately 10 million copies of his cantatas and musicals have been published and sold. He was a longtime member of the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers. Born in Lindsborg, Kansas, on November 1, 1921, Peterson began his musical career while still in his teens. During World War II, he was an Army Air Force transport pilot, flying the notorious China Hump route over the Himalayas and earning the Air Medal.
And you'll hear about that in this upcoming audio clip.
Okay. After his service, Peterson enrolled at the Moody Bible Institute, where he served on staff at Moody's radio station WMBI, overseeing several weekly programs. Later, he attended Chicago's American Conservatory of Music, where he graduated in 1953. Shortly after college, John and his family settled in Montrose, Pennsylvania, where he continued his songwriting while working as president and editor-in-chief at Singspiration, a sacred music publishing company. There, in 1961, he compiled and edited the hymnal, Great Hymns of the Faith. When Zondervan acquired Singspiration, Peterson relocated his family to Grand Rapids, Michigan, where he spent a further 10 years as Singspiration president and editor-in-chief. He relocated to Scottsdale, Arizona, where he co-founded Good Life Productions. Later, he started his own publishing house, the John W. Peterson Music Company. Peterson served on several boards, including those of Gospel Films, now Gospel Communications, and the Family Life Radio Network. He received numerous honors and awards. In 1977, Zondervan published Peterson's autobiography, The Miracle Goes On. Gospel Films later released a movie by the same title. In 1986, Peterson was inducted into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame. Peterson died in Scottsdale, Arizona on September 20, 2006, after a long battle with cancer. He was 84. He once said, "It's been a great joy over these many years to be able to take some manuscript paper and turn it into something that glorifies God or presents the gospel to others." We know Peterson looked forward to seeing the Savior he served and wrote about for many years. In reflecting on his life, the words of one of his songs says it best, "Jesus led me all the way." Written by Monticello, Illinois resident Roger Weisgarber. And our byline says, Roger combines his interest in music and history as he writes about musicians of our past. Roger_Weisgarber@MSN.com.
Thanks, Roger. So to further the story, I meet up with Phil. He sees this article.
Yeah.
He says he has audio. And so he sent it to me. And so what you're going to hear is from 1973, him being interviewed and talking about some of this story, how he wrote some of the songs up at Moody, serving in the military, and wait till you hear the closing comments by radio pastor Donald Cole that fits so well with our Monday's program.
This is going to be great.
One of the outstanding talents to share in the ministry of the Moody Bible Institute has been John Peterson. John came to the Institute as a student from Kansas. He later worked a number of years at WMBI as a singer, and he used to play a steel guitar. And a program personality. We thank God for the ministry of John Peterson. We're going to ask John to come and lead us in a song, hymn number 49. And then after that, he'll share about the writing of a gospel song. Hymn number 49, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." Shall we stand as we join together?
wonderful singing. You may be seated. My, I think that's such a magnificent hymn. I trust the Lord allows me to write at least one, just something like that, you know. I really appreciated that Dr. Sweeting remembered my splendid singing. You often tell people that if I would sing for them, they would understand why the Lord led me into a career of writing music. Well, we had some wonderful times during those days at WMBI. And I wrote so many songs at that time. I just don't know what to tell you about, really. There's so many that come to mind. Songs come to us in so many different ways, you know. Just sometimes they just come right out of your heart before you know it. I remember one day improvising at the piano in our little apartment here in Chicago. And before I knew it, I was singing a little song called Over the Sunset Mountains. The next day, I brought it into WMBI, and Dick Anthony and I introduced it on our program called Cheer Up. And it became rather popular. People seemed to enjoy it. I remember one day I was directing the conference of music out at Montrose Bible Conference one summer. An opportunity was given for testimonies. And a gentleman rose to his feet and he said, "You know, the night I became a Christian, heaven came down and glory filled my soul." I thought, oh, what a song title. And I whipped out a pencil and I wrote that down and then wrote the song. That has become such a favorite. I have a nephew who's a missionary in South America. He wrote me the other day and he said, "John, everywhere down in South America here, heaven came down." He said, "Even the monkeys are singing it." Well, so many of them come. They come in so many different ways. However, sometimes when the Lord is going to give a writer a song that's going to be used to a great extent, He leads one through many experiences, sometimes over a long span of years. And such was the case with a song that I'm going to tell you about right now, a song that more or less established me as a writer. Actually goes back to my boyhood days. I'm the youngest member of a family of seven. And I remember the two of my older brothers who, though they grew up in church, I had a mother that saw to it that we were always in church twice on Sunday and once in the middle of the week. So I knew nothing other than that. But I had two older brothers that slipped away from the Lord and got out into the things of the world, were breaking their mother's heart. My father had already passed away at this time. Then I remember the glorious time when these two young men, so hardened in sin, came to Christ. And as a lad, just in my first years in school, I can remember what a change in our family. They used to meet in our home for dance band practices, my older brothers. They had a little group. And then, you know, something happened, and instead of dance band practices, they would meet for prayer meetings. Amen. And, you know, I could tell there was something had happened, you know. And that made an indelible impression upon my young heart. And, of course, was one of the things that was used eventually to lead me to Christ. Then, during World War II, it was my privilege to be a member of the American Air Force. And I flew the China Hump. I crossed that pile of rocks 100 times. Had some wonderful experiences. We used to carry gasoline to the Flying Tigers on the other side. And I can remember many times during those days of flying through those vicious storms over the Himalaya Mountains, carrying gasoline, wondering if I was going to make it to the other side. I can think of one night in particular when we were carrying gasoline. We just reached the first ridge of the Himalayas. And we were caught in a vicious storm. We tried to get around, tried to find a saddle in the line of storms. We were always instructed, if you found a line of thunderstorms, try to find the saddle and then go through that. And we couldn't. And so I had to point the nose of the airplane right into the heart of the storm. And we were in there just a minute or two when I felt the airplane just tossed around like a little matchstick. The altimeter would just spin. We would gain 2,000 feet in just a moment, and we'd be hurtled down toward earth 2,000 feet the same way. And sometimes, you know, we would be hurtled down into levels that I knew were lower than the known peaks in the area. Unfortunately, we always hit in the valley. I didn't hit any peaks or I wouldn't be here today. But it was an awesome experience. We were struck by lightning finally, knocked out all of our electrical equipment. We were completely lost in the storm that night. And I thought for sure that that was it. I didn't think I'd ever see my family again. And yet there was in my heart a sense of peace, because I knew that I was Christ. I belonged to Him. If that was His time for me, I was ready to go. But somehow we turned that airplane around and finally made it back to home base. And I remember some of the crew, when we got out of the airplane that day, one of the men just fell on the ground and kissed the ground. He was so glad to be back. And the paint in the airplane nose had been completely burnt off by the flash of lightning that had hit us. Well, these things were all going to serve as part of the inspiration for a song. Also, I remember our airstrip was carved right out of the jungles in Burma. We lived with monkeys and elephants all around us and other wild creatures. And it was a wonderful time and place to observe the handiwork of God. And I remember on many of my hump trips when we weren't flying through storms, I could still see those star-filled nights. Many times I would be flying along, we'd turn the airplane on automatic pilot, and the co-pilot would go to sleep, and I would just spend some moments in worship. You know, you could almost seem like you reach up and touch the stars. They were so close. And it was a marvelous time for my own poetic soul, you know, to observe the handiwork of God. Those great mountains and the jungles and those star-filled nights. Then, after the war, I came to this wonderful place called Moody Bible Institute. How my heart rejoiced. I can remember sitting in these auditoriums many times with hardly be able to hold back the tears. I was so starved for, you know, after 3.5 years in the Army, coming into this atmosphere, you could imagine what it meant to me. Hearing the chorale sing and all of the wonderful music that was here. Great days for me. Great days in study of God's Word. And I remember one day sitting in a classroom, and I don't remember what was said in that class that day, but it stirred something in my soul, the deep things that I had stored away, some of the experiences of the past. And I thought back to my childhood days. I was carried back to the time in my own family when I saw members of my family come to Christ one by one. And I saw this marvelous transformation from darkness to light, and all that that happened with some of my older brothers and sisters as well. And then somehow, in all the swirling thoughts, I was carried back to the war days. And I remembered my hump flying days. And all the wonder of God's handiwork there. And then His ability to keep me in times of danger. I remembered that night in the storm when we were lost. And out of all of these varied experiences that the Lord was bringing across my mind that day in a classroom right here at Moody Bible Institute, there emerged one central thought. Suddenly it occurred to me, there was a reason why the Lord, the Holy Spirit, was bringing these things to mind. He was going to give me a song. Out of all of these experiences, I recognized that in all of God's dealings, there is the element of the miraculous. Our God works that way. He is a miracle-working God. And the idea for a song came to me as I sat there in the classroom. And even while the speaker was speaking, I won't tell you who it is, because I wasn't listening to him that morning. I was thinking out the words of a song. And before the class was over, I had thought out the chorus. And right after class, I slipped over to the music building here, not the music building, but it was the old practice rooms above the sweet shop. Some of you old-timers remember that. And I found an empty room. I think the piano was in tune, but it wasn't in too good a shape. And there I wrote a song that went like this: My Father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny. A God of might and miracles, 'tis written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Amen. And that was written right here. Dear Mr. Harry Dixon Lowes, one of my teachers at the time, right after that had met Percy Crawford, and he said, John, why don't you send some songs to Percy Crawford? Well, I gathered, hurriedly pulled some manuscripts together, and I sent 12 songs to Percy Crawford. And there was one in there that I really thought I was going to knock him dead with, a real great one. That thing long since has died. Nobody knows it. But in among the group of 12 was It Took a Miracle. And I was so surprised when it became so popular across the country, became a well-known song. And it was more or less the song that established this writer in those days. Say, could you sing a chorus of it? Maybe we could sing a verse in chorus. What do you say? All right? You think you remember of it?
Thank you, John. Just the fact that you remember the words and could sing that attests to the fact of how well known and how God has used that gospel song, It Took a Miracle. I wonder how many of you have ever met face to face Pastor Cole. Would you lift your hand? Have you had that privilege? Most of you haven't. And yet you hear his voice every day. And we appreciate his ministry so much. Pastor Robert Little was a blessing to so many people for over 17 and a half years at the Moody Bible Institute. And then he retired at the end of July 1971. In fact, the very day I started my ministry at the Moody Bible Institute, Pastor Cole started his ministry, August 1st, 1971. Pastor Cole was a missionary in Angola for many years. Now he serves as our radio pastor, and we thank God for him. I'm going to ask him just to greet you and then to lead us in prayer. Pastor Cole.
Good afternoon. We Christians begin our spiritual life in prayer. We come asking the Lord to save us. We come on our knees. And the longer we know the Lord, the more inclined we feel to pray. We feel that we can't do anything, even conduct an afternoon meeting without prayer. So that's what we're going to do now. We're going to pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have invited us to come to you. We thank you that you have taught us to do this. We remember the words of our Lord who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, and we come to you in this way, reverently, with deep respect. We thank you for saving our souls. We thank you for that miracle of love and grace. And we thank you for all of us who can say sincerely that we know the Lord, and better yet, that we are known of him. We feel like Peter, who said, Lord, to whom should we go? You have words of eternal life. And we have believed and know that you are the Holy One of God. So we come to you now. And we pray that you will give us a sense of your presence during this afternoon. We pray that you will help all of us who contribute in some way to feel that we are exercising a ministry that God has given us. Give us holy joy as we listen to your word, and give us a genuine desire to thank you and to praise you for what you are. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Well, you've been listening to Mark and Friends. This was a special gift from Phil Shepard as he read the Musically Speaking article that Roger Weisgarber produced in this month's edition, the February edition of the Prime Life Times, and that was from Founders Week 1973. And after reading Roger's article, Marianne, and then hearing his voice and him storytelling, and then the singing, I thought it was just a great program and treat for everyone. So pick up your edition, the February edition of the Prime Life Times. And if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org, and find out more about the Prime Life Times at primelifetimes.com. Oh, yeah, Marianne, there was another thing about the God sighting story, meeting up with Phil. Well, he had a whole box of all sorts of old artifacts, some neat stuff I'm going to display at the Great News Media Center. And he also included, as he knew I played racquetball, Don Cole loved to play racquetball, and we did know each other. And so that was an additional gift. And Phil wasn't thinking about that audio you just heard and Pastor Donald Cole closing out in prayer, because he hadn't read the article yet in the Prime Life Times. And so that was just another unique way where God had orchestrated Phil and I meeting up, him looking at the story, thinking he could find some audio, and it all tied together. But he was giving me Radio Pastor Don Cole's racquetball racket before any of this or knowledge of it. So just another incredible way how God put it all together. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.